One more time. Thank you, oh my Father, for giving us your Son
and giving your Spirit to
Why don't we thank him? Let's give God a big hand. Amen. Look at your neighbor. Tell your neighbor you're looking good. Better than yesterday. And tomorrow. In fact, this week, you will shine. In Jesus' name. Meta, meta. Sparkle, sparkle. Shiny, shiny.
Shiny, shiny.
Wear shades. Let's give God a big hand. We are glad you came today. We are glad that your neighbor is standing next to you.
Yes.
Amen. Why don't you give them a high five and tell them you're blessed?
Yes.
In Jesus' name. Amen. I did not ask you to slap them. I just wanted you to give them a high five. Amen. It sounded like a slap. We want to read the scriptures, but before we do that, just again reminding all the council members, we are having a meeting today, this afternoon, after this service, and then the business meeting, our church members meeting, coming up next Sunday, 23rd October at 2 p.m. You're all welcome. We are reading from Matthew chapter 9, verse 35 to 38. Matthew 9, 35 to 38. Again, just appreciating Ambassador Mike Mubea, representing Kenya in the Republic of Ireland. Hallelujah. And we thank God that God has positioned God's people in many places. Some of them in Kino, others in Rongai. You are special. Tell your neighbor, you are placed well.
Amen.
Amen. So we are reading Matthew 9:35, just a short passage. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." This is God's word, and God's people say,
Amen.
We may be seated in his presence. Those in the pavilion, we celebrate you. We thank God for each one of you. We thank God for our children in Sunday school and their teachers. Those watching us online, we thank you for always connecting with us and just becoming part of this service from across the globe. We don't take you for granted. And those of us in-house, we bless you so much. This month, we've been talking about the royal message. And this royal message is very important because this is what even makes us have church today. If the message of Jesus Christ had not gone out, church would not exist. That message makes it possible for us to gather together like this. And I want to also thank you for faithfully coming to the service, in-house, in-person, online, just being part of this service. And I know that when the message goes out, it never leaves people the same. Today, as I talk, I want to speak about the power of the gospel, because this gospel is very powerful, and there is power inherent in the gospel. That's why the message of the gospel is very important. Jesus Christ believed in that power. It's the power of the good news, the power of the gospel. And today I want to talk about three areas about this power of the gospel. Number one, it is connecting power. Number two, collecting power. And number three, constructing power. I want to talk about the connecting power, the collecting power, and the constructing power. This is the power of the gospel. Let me read Romans chapter 1, verse 16, a verse we have repeated several times. This is Paul speaking, and Paul writing to the Romans, and this is what he said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the what?" Because it is the what? The power of God. Not just Kenya power, hallelujah, but divine power. The power of God that brings salvation to some people. To everyone who believes. First to the Jew, then to the Gentile. And then verse 17 it says, picks it up and says, "For in the gospel the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith." Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 again, writing to the Corinthian church. This is what he says again about this gospel. Verse 1, chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. It says, "And so it was with me, brothers and sisters. When I came to you, I did not come with eloquence or human wisdom, as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I came to you in weakness, with great fear and trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise, persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on what? On God's power." This gospel has power right inside it. The word power in Greek, in the Greek Bible, because this was translated from Greek, is the word dunamis. Dunamis, where we get the word dynamite. It is an explosive power. It is a force that makes things change and shift. And I want you to know that this gospel that has been preached through the years has transformed and changed many people's lives across the globe. Whether it is in the US, whether it is in Europe, whether it is in Africa, everywhere this gospel has been preached, it has released a force that causes change to happen. And that is why the Bible tells us that we should preach this gospel. In fact, it was to Paul. Paul, this is what Paul said. Let me read it in 2 Timothy. He's writing to Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 4. Let me read part of that scripture. This is what the Bible says. "In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge." He's talking to Timothy. He says, "Preach what? Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to what? Myths." But Pastor Simon, we are here not to talk about myths. We are here to talk about the gospel, the message that changes people. This gospel is very powerful. It's amazing that some of us, when we got to hear this gospel, it was very simple. For me, when I got to connect with this gospel, it was just through a small booklet that was put in my hands. And as I read it, God's power moved and brought me to my knees and gave my life to Jesus Christ alone in my bedroom. For some of you, you are changed and you receive the gospel in a meeting. For some, it was maybe just walking on the roadside and you got convicted. This message is powerful and it has what we call connecting power, collecting power, constructing power. I want to read these verses. I talk about connecting power. This gospel connects us to the throne of God. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14 to 16. The Bible says this. It's connecting us to a person and to a throne. It says, therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Then he says, let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of what? In our time of need. This gospel connects us to a person, and it has power. A few verses before the verses we read earlier concerning Jesus going through all the villages, Jesus went and his power moved and shifted many things. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 18, Jesus is moving around and this gospel is touching people. This is what it says in Matthew chapter 9, verse 18. It's connecting people to power. It says, while he was saying this, sharing that message, a synagogue leader came and knelt before him and said, my daughter has just died. But come and put your hand on her and she will live. Jesus got up and went with him, and so did his disciples. But while he was going, he got interrupted. Tell your neighbor, he was interrupted. Tell your neighbor, the person who interrupted him was what person? Hello? What kind of a person? Tell your neighbor, women can interrupt you. You know, we keep saying women are amazing. They can do all kinds of things. They can interrupt you. They can promote things. They can do all kinds of things. But you know, thank God for women. You see, the reason why men have depression and sometimes want to commit suicide is because sometimes they don't get time to share their struggles with other people. Women will share with anybody who is moving around. After the service, not many men come to greet me. It is? Pastor, pray for me about this. Pastor, this and that. And you know, it is how they are just created. You know, men are not like women. And we are just different. So tell your neighbor, men are also just different. You see, men, even if the way they have been conditioned, depending on the families they came from, for some of us, we were conditioned to know that a man does not cry. And if you cry, cry inside your stomach. And so men are created in such a way that in Kiswahili, we say, mwanaume lazima ajikaze. Ajikaze kisabuni. Na ukijikaza kisabuni, utateleza hivyo hivyo. And so no matter what, because Francis, a deacon, our parents were very disciplinarian. Some of the parents now, because of this corporal punishment, our parents did not care about that. They closed the door, locked the door, and it was you and them. They beat you up, you screamed, and then they tell you, usilie, usilie, usilie. So, usilie, usilie, usilie. That's how we were conditioned to fanya nini? Kujikaza. Hello. And so when things are bad, you're just holding on. Men also find it very difficult to talk to other men about their issues because men do not want to feel weak before other men. So, weak men, kujikaza. And they really struggle. The moment you find a man crying, the moment a man breaks down before you, you even get confused. Some of the men who have broken down in my office, you know, you just also get disillusioned. You don't know what to do. Unaanza kuangalia upande mwingine. All kinds of things begin to happen. Tears want to come. And if you want to know that a man is crying, just see a man. They have to look up so that their tears can do what? I can just go back in. Am I helping some men here? But let me tell you this to the men. Sometimes it is just good to cry. Hallelujah. Just good to cry. Not because your wife beat you up. I mean, it's just good to cry. Sometimes it's good to tell another man, I'm really going through a hard time. And men, when somebody tells you that, don't turn back and say, what's wrong with you? Hello? Jinue. In English, lift yourself. How do you lift yourself when you're what? When you're down. But this woman interrupted this situation. But it's because women sometimes cannot stop to share what their need is. Thank God for Jairus, who was a man and came to Jesus and said, my daughter is dead. Come and do something. And let me say this. Jesus Christ is reaching out to you. This gospel is powerful. Let me finish that statement. It says, verse 20, just then a woman who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak. And she said to herself, and she had been saying this because that statement, she was not saying to herself at that time, Pastor Simon. She had been saying it from home because she was seeing what Jesus was doing. And she said, if I can just touch him, if I only touch his cloak, I will be what? I'll be healed. Jesus turned and saw her. Take heart, daughter. He said, your faith has healed you. And the woman was healed at that moment. She connected to power. I'm saying she connected to what? To power. And let me say this. Sometimes we have also been conditioned to believe that some of our issues will not get solutions quickly. So we'll just have to endure for a long time. For even God himself knows that we don't have to be healed quickly. We don't have to have a breakthrough quickly. It will take years. But let me tell you this, sometimes when you connect to power, things happen and they happen fast. And let me give you an opportunity, and don't do this. Don't do this at home. If you want to know how power works fast, go get a live wire. Hello? And touch it. You'll know what it means to have instant connection and instant miracle. Hello? It will not be very nice. But I'm saying this to say this. There are some things that God has been waiting to do, and he has decided he's going to do it for you in the month of October. Amen. And let me speak to the people on this side. God has been waiting to do some things for you, and God has waited for this month to be your breakthrough month. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Somebody better receive that in Jesus' name. Receive that. This woman had been unwell for 12 years. And can you imagine, also interesting, the girl who had died was also what? 12 years. And sometimes you wonder, what does 12 mean? By the way, number 12 is an important number. It's a number of the kingdom. And so when we say, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And God knew their season had come. And I want to tell somebody, your season for your breakthrough has come. This pastor is decreeing and declaring to you that there is power in the gospel, and God is about to do something right now, this week, this month. And God is not going to delay. Some of the things that have delayed in your life are going to delay no more because of the power of the gospel. God wants to shift and change your life. And this woman, the Bible says, she was changed that moment. Let me read verse 23 very quickly. It says, when Jesus entered the synagogue, the leader's house, and saw the noisy crowd and people playing pipes, he said, go away. The girl is not dead, but what? But asleep. Now remember, people are mourning. The Bible says, rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. But these guys are playing pipes. You know, they are mourning. And like I was saying earlier, there are people especially who are paid to come and wail in funerals. Did you know that? They are paid to come and wail in funerals. Because there are some cultures who do not know how to wail. But there are some people beyond Nakuru going who are specialists in doing what? Wailing. You can imagine people are just sitting nicely, waiting, and especially in Western Kenya, and they're used to that. You know, the body is brought in the homestead and in the coffin, and it is open, and so people just come and sit around it and all kinds of things, and the whole day, and it will be there, and then they'll bury the next day. And people come, people who have not been there, they have never visited your place for a long time, but they show up. And some of them start wailing from the gate. You're just having quietly. Suddenly you hear Nduru Melia. They come and they start talking to the person who died. Why did you leave us at this time? Didn't you know that you have my debt? Why? You should have told me before you died. And they are wailing. Suddenly, after they are finished, they go immediately and ask somebody, is there tea? Deacon Francis, I believe these guys, he said, go away. The girl is not dead, but asleep. But they laughed at him. I want to ask, do people from Ukambani do this? Do we have wailers in Ukambani? God is God of variety. So tell your neighbor, God is a God of variety. And that's why sometimes when you have these intermarriages, you need to be asking before you intermarry. If it's a Kikuyu marrying a Luo, you need to be asking ahead of time. When people die in your place, what do they do? So that you don't get shock. You have shock absorbers before you arrive. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus says, get out. After the crowd had been put aside, he went in and took the girl by the hand. Remember, she's dead. But she connected to power. I'm saying this gospel is a gospel of power. When you connect to it, life shows up. This is a gospel of power. Your business may be dead, but when it is connected to God, something is infused into it and something is released, and God releases power. Your business begins to flourish. The Bible says Isaac sowed in a season of famine, but because he believed the word of God and connected to the word of God, he harvested 100 times in that same year. I am saying that connect to the gospel power. I'm saying connect to the gospel power. I'm saying connect to the gospel power. Matthew chapter 9 verse 27. Jesus again meets some people. This is what the Bible says in verse 27. As Jesus went on from there, 2 blind men followed him. Remember, they are blind. Calling out, have mercy on us, son of David. When he had gone indoors, the blind men came to him and he asked them, do you believe that I am able to do this? Yes, Lord, they replied. Then he touched their eyes and said, according to your faith, let it be done to you. And their sight was restored. Jesus warned them sternly, see, that no one knows about this. But do you think they agreed to hear him? They went out and spread the news about him all over that region. Let me tell you this. Jesus has come with some good news. And you know, when you have good news, you cannot stop talking about it. This gospel is a gospel of power, and you cannot connect with it. Not only does God save you, God also rearranges the situations of your life. And salvation is not for the day you got saved. Salvation is for all the days that you are going to live on this planet. Allow that power to keep working. Some people, the day they got saved is the day they just connected to power, and the rest of their life they have been struggling, challenges every day, and they stopped connecting to power. That power is still at work. Allow that power to flow into your situations. I don't know which ones you have, but allow God to minister to you in a mighty way. But not only is this message connecting power, it is also collecting power. Tell your neighbor, collecting power. The Bible says that this is, it collects the treasures of God and deposits them in you. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5 to 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5 to 7. The Bible says this as I read. For what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. And then he says, but we have this treasure. There's a treasure that God collected and put inside you. This treasure is in Christ Jesus, but we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. And see what this power can do. Verse 8, we are hard pressed on every side, but not what? We're not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to the death for Jesus' sake, so that the life may also be revealed in our mortal body. There's a treasure in you. That treasure is Jesus. When Jesus was coming, he collected treasure. He was the treasure. And so when we connect with him, the collected treasure and the blessings enter into you. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3, God has done something for you. So let me read it for us. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has done what? It's not he will, he has. Again, let me say it again. Not only will he, but he has. Who has? He has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Inside you, you are loaded with treasure. I'm saying inside you, you're loaded with treasure. What kind of treasure? Peace that passes all understanding. He says, peace I give to you. My peace I leave unto you. If you can just know that Jesus did not just come to dwell in your heart so that you'd wait until you go to heaven. No, he came loaded with everything you need. Hallelujah. He came loaded. Just like some apps are loaded with all kinds of things so that everything is a one-stop station. Let me tell you this, Jesus is a one-stop station. You can get whatever you need. You can get peace. You can get joy. You can get wisdom. You can get all kinds of things. And there are treasure inside you. That is why you can be hard-pressed. Go back to that verse. Verse 8. You can be hard-pressed. And we will be hard-pressed. That is 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8. You can be hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. I want to declare to you that you may be feeling crushed, but let me tell you this, there's a treasure inside you. I'm saying there's a treasure inside you. I'm saying there's a treasure inside you. You may be hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. God is not going to cause you to get crushed. You may be perplexed, But God will make sure you're not in despair. You may be persecuted, but listen to me. The Lord is not abandoning you. You may be struck down, but not destroyed. You may be trailing 4-0 at halftime. Thank you, Jesus. Trailing, but the match is not over. Because when you come back in the second half, in the first minute, it is 1-4. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And you're in the 80th minute. Thank you, Jesus. It is 2-4. Hallelujah. In the 82nd minute, it is 3-4. Maze, things are happening. Suddenly, just nearly 90 minutes, it is 4-4. You're given injury time. My friends, it is not over until God says it is over. In injury time, whatever time they are giving you, you are already on top, 5-4. And before that injury time is over, you are 6-4. My friend, how do you think those guys feel at that point? You may be struck down, but not destroyed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Liverpool may be down, but I'm telling you, we don't walk alone. Thank you, Jesus. One time I was in the U.S. and I felt struck down. I was down. I went to the U.S. and I was saying the other time, I went to the U.S. in a state called Arkansas. Now, you need to say it nicely, Arkansas. Okay. Yeah, it is not Arkansas. I'm going to Arkansas. No, you are not. There is no Arkansas in the U.S. It is called Arkansas. And I was in a small town called Arkadelphia, Arkansas. And I was in a university called Washita Baptist University. Now, it's not spelled like that. It's O-U-I-C-H-T-A. But you spell it Washita. I went during the summer break, because during the summer break from May to nearly August, all the students would just go everywhere. They go back home to where the states. The university became like, nobody's there. It is just complete desert. And somebody asked me, Ambrose, where are you going during summer holiday? I said, I don't know. He says, you cannot stay at the university here. Everybody leaves and goes to their states. And so I said, what do you think I need to do? He said, there is a summer program for students to go preach in other states during summertime, and you go there for 10 weeks, and they even give you something kidogo. I said, apply for me. I got in. During summer holiday, I went to Louisiana, a small town called Lake Charles. Now, Lake Charles is a few hours away from New Orleans, and I was there for 10 weeks. Amazing things happened while I was there, Pastor Simon. God opened amazing doors while I was there, but I didn't know that God was going to use my time there. But while I was there, helping a pastor reach out to the community, God just did amazing things. I was able to reach some street people and just minister to God to them. I was there for 10 weeks. But after 10 weeks, we were supposed to go back to school. When we came to Lake Charles, Louisiana, with all the students, we had driven in a bus. Some of these, not some of the modern buses, some of the older buses that go very fast. They go very fast. When they are going very fast, they are at 70. And they're just going, for some of you who do not know, there was a bus called OTC many years ago. Hello? And you take hours the whole day going away to Western Kenya. So we're in this bus the whole 10 hours to Louisiana. But now we are coming back. The pastor who was with me drove with me to New Orleans. And when we arrived there, there was a miscommunication. The students were supposed to have arrived on a certain date. The day I arrived, they had actually arrived the previous day and left to college. I felt struck down. I didn't know what to do. But let me tell you this. Do you think God knew that that would happen? Yes, he did. And sometimes in a situation like that, you begin to feel very upset. How? Why didn't they communicate? Why didn't they call you? What is wrong with some people? Don't they know how to plan? Things like that. But I went. I didn't know what to do. So I went to a corner and I prayed and I said, Lord, I don't want to go to Lake Charles. I want to go back to school. And while I was there, the pastor was with me, called me, says, Pastor Ambrose, you have a call. I said, who is calling me? Nobody knows me in New Orleans. So I picked the phone, and the organizer of that trip said, is that Ambrose? I said, yes. First, I want to apologize that we were not able to communicate to you that we had changed the day of departure. In my head, I was saying, you should apologize, seriously. Kuniwacha hapa nimezuba zuba. But he said, but we have made a plan for you. You're flying back to Arkansas. I said, can you repeat that again? You're flying back to Arkansas. We are sending the ticket to the pastor and he's going to take you to the airport. I flew back to Arkansas. 2 hours. Pastor Simon, all the way I imagined my friends in the bus. For 10 hours. For me, from New Orleans to Little Rock, Arkansas. Whoop. This month, you're going to go. Whoop. Tell your neighbor, this month you're going. Whoop. Crushed, but not perplexed. You're not struck down. You know, God is sorting you out. God is working behind the scenes to turn the situations around. God is going to cause your trip to be better than it has ever been in the previous years. You maybe have been on the road for a long time, but right now you're about to take flight. In Jesus' name, God is accelerating you in the name of Jesus Christ, Son of the living God. But God did even more. I flew into Arkansas, Little Rock, at night. I'm reaching at night. I'm wondering, how will I get to college? Because it was 1 hour to college. And when I arrived, immediately, I hear my name being called in the intercom. Ambrose Nyangao, Ambrose Nyangao, please report at the reception desk. And I looked around and I thought FBI were after me. You know, you think all kinds of things. Is there FBI on my case? Kumbe, they had planned the whole trip. Let me tell you this. He who began a good work in you. I'm saying, he who began a good work in you will not leave it halfway. This is the power of the gospel. The power of collecting the blessings and the treasures that God has for you. That when God begins a work in you, he will finish. You see, I would have been worried the whole time. How am I going to go to college? Who is going to help me? But God had worked it all out. I went to the desk and they said there's a vehicle waiting for me to take me straight to college and I don't need to worry. And I remembered my friends in the bus. Hello? I remember my friends in the bus. And I wanted to tell them, you guys, thank you for leaving me. You know, you need to thank God for some of the issues that have happened in your life. Because the devil is about to be ashamed that he ever did that to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Yes, he may have struck you down, but guess what? Jesus is lifting you up. And God is blessing you abundantly above what you ask or imagine. Somebody may have kicked you out of your renting house because you had just defaulted 1 month. But God is sorting you out. He's giving you your own house in Jesus' name. He's giving you your own premise. That's the kind of God we serve, the power of the gospel. But tell your neighbor, not only is it connecting power. Tell your neighbor, not only is it connecting power. Not only is it collecting power. It is also constructing power. Let me read this very quickly. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 18. The Bible says this. This is what the gospel does. It transforms us, the gospel power. It transforms us. Verse 18 says, "And we all, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed, being transformed, being transformed, being transformed." God is constructing us, being transformed into His image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. Let me read that in verse in the New King James. The New King James says it this way, verse 18, "But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory." Let me read it in the Amplified version. In the Amplified, it says this, same verse. "And we all, with unveiled faces, continually seeing as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are progressively being transformed into His image from one degree of glory to even more glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit." Hallelujah. Some of you look at us and we seem so composed. We are just orderly. Let me tell you this, we didn't start there. Pastor Simon was giving us a story about his life, and he allowed me to share that story. And when he used to be very fiery young preacher in youth camps, you know, he would be there. And sometimes in youth camps, when you're dealing with young people, you're just having a lot of fun, and then you're having pranks on each other and things like that. And they did a prank on a young man who used to sleep with his mouth open. And you know, sometimes when we sleep, some of us know, tell your neighbor, amen. Amen. And if you don't believe it, just record them one day when they're sleeping. Some sleep with their mouths open. And so Pastor Simon found somebody who with their mouth open. Guess what Pastor Simon decided? He got Colgate toothpaste. Wakaifinya ndani ya mdomo, in the mouth of this guy. Can you picture it? Focus on Pastor Simon. Just let those cameras focus on Pastor Simon. Is it on Pastor Simon? Get his picture, because the world needs to know. This past of ours put Colgate in somebody's mouth when they were sleeping. And Pastor Simon says when they woke up, they were so upset, so angry. Who couldn't be? I'm giving you this story because the gospel has power. It transformed this gentleman from putting Colgate in people's mouths to being a man of God. Tell your neighbor, the gospel has power. And if it can transform Pastor Simon, say it. Who am I? Pastor Simon, transformed progressively from one degree of glory to another. Are you laughing at Pastor Simon? You just tell your neighbor the things you used to do. Huh? We used to sing that song that says, "The things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. The things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. The things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. Since I've been born again, there's been a great change." Tell your neighbor, Pastor Simon, there's been a great change. Some of us, if we could get a picture of your past, I'm telling you, we would not even want you to be sitting in this service. Hello? But the gospel has power to construct us. Some of us, we used to drink tea loudly. Have you ever met people who drink tea loudly? And they drink... some of them are experts. Again, they come from beyond Nakuru. I'm telling you. These people are experts. They know physics. They can take a cup of tea here, and they are here, and they create a temporal vacuum between the cup and themselves, and how that tea goes into their mouths is a miracle. Tell your neighbor, there's constructing power. Some of them, when you see them today, etiquette. They're expert. They know how to handle things. They are smart. Kumbe, it is the power of God that has changed them. And by the way, not only did God transform us and change us and construct us, He then gave us creative ideas, creative minds. And let me tell you, the inventions that have happened, Pastor Simon, in the past were done by Christians. Pastor Simon, did you know that Isaac Newton was a believer? Isaac Newton. Some of you do not know Isaac Newton. Isaac Newton was a scientist. He's the one who discovered the forces of gravity. Hallelujah. Tell your neighbor, Isaac Newton. He invented the law. He discovered the laws of motion. He also invented calculus. Calculus that made me fail my Form 6 mathematics. Hello? When I get to heaven, I'll tell Newton, where? He also built the first ever reflecting telescope. He's the one who also said that sunlight is made up of all the colors of the rainbow. When God transforms you, new things show up in your life. Florence Nightingale, a believer, transformed the nursing profession to where it has been, to where it is. They're amazing scientists, not just scientists, sportsmen, people in government, people in various places. Because of Jesus Christ, their things shifted completely. Hallelujah. Amen. May God construct you. Amen. You are being transformed. So look at your neighbor. Look at your neighbor now. You have no idea what work God has done in their life. Hallelujah. Amen. God has done an amazing transforming work. They were not like that before. Ambrose was not like this before. But God, through the power of the gospel, has transformed us. Amen? Please stand on your feet right now in Jesus' name. While you're standing on your feet, as I pray, tell your neighbor, October is going to be a very different month for you. There's a book that is available in our bookstore here. It's called The Power of the God Factor. And I would really like that you put your hands and get a copy of this book, because it talks about the God who works behind the scenes to change your lives. God has done a great work in my life, your life, but I'm telling you, if you can just give Him that chance to do it, the power of the gospel does not leave you the same at all. We find people who used to be drunkards, they are carried out of mitaros and places, but today they are amazing citizens in the world. Never give up on anyone. Maybe you have a son who is down there. You have somebody who is locked up in prison. Let me tell you this, many people who have been in prison have come out and turned the world the right side up in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Look at your neighbor and tell your neighbor, you're going places in Jesus' name. Amen. You're going places in Jesus' name. God is a good God. God is a transforming God. Connect to the power. Enter the collecting power, the treasure that is inside you. And guess what? Transforming power. If Pastor Simon could be changed from Colgate fingering in people's mouths today, he is a man of God making a difference to the entire globe. What can God not do in your life? Amen? One day we should give some people testimonies to tell us where they have come from. Some of you will not believe them. But God is a transforming God. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. One more time. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, and the glory. Revive us, Father. Shall we pray? Father, thank you for your word, that the gospel has power. Sometimes we wonder what kind of power, but that power is inherent in that gospel. If we can only believe it, if we can only receive it, the Bible says, but to those who received him, who believed in his name, he gave them the power to become. Lord, this gospel gives us power to become. From darkness to light, from the valley to the mountaintop, from closed doors to open doors, from going to hell to going to heaven, from people who are completely destroyed and struck down by people who are rising up because their light has come and the glory of the Lord has risen upon them. Dear Father, even as God's people are released in this service, may they be reminded of this gospel, that as they go out and share it, all they need to do is to share it so that the people who hear it can connect to power. They can then experience the collecting power that gives them treasure. And they also can experience that awesome power that constructs a life and brings it to a mess, from a mess to a message, from a test to a testimony. Dear Lord, thank you for the gospel of the kingdom. It changed my life. It has changed so many of our lives. And if you're here, never received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, make that point to make that prayer. Just come to God. Not something huge, complicated. All you have to do is this. Lord Jesus, save me. Lord Jesus, forgive me. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. And allow the power to do what it does best. All you have to do is to believe. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be delivered. Father, we thank you for hearing our prayer, and thank you for the gospel. And so we give you the glory, and we give you the praise. And if you believe that, you better give God a big hand and tell him thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Come on, somebody, give the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords a big hand. Come on, somebody, give God a big hand. Hallelujah. 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 All of us need Jesus. Men need Jesus. Women need Jesus. Children need Jesus. Connect them to the power of the gospel. Hallelujah. As I bless you, again, remember, our bookstore is open. The book Royalty is also there, and other materials. Engage them. Give them to somebody. Give them to a friend. Give them to a neighbor. You'd never know what might happen. Now, look at your neighbor and tell them, thank you for staying with me the whole service. Amen. Hallelujah. Are you glad you came? Why don't you give God another big hand? Tell him, thank you, Jesus. Glory! Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Those in the pavilion, God bless you. Those watching online, God bless you. Lift up your hands as I release us. Father, we thank you. And I declare to your people now, may the Lord bless you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you. I declare that your Monday is blessed. Your Tuesday is blessed. Your Wednesday is blessed. Your Thursday is blessed. Your Friday is blessed. Your Saturday is blessed. And know this, that Sunday you're coming back with a testimony. In the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. You're blessed when you come in. You're blessed when you go out. Your household is blessed. Your children are blessed. Because you're connecting to power. You've come with a treasure, collecting power and constructing power as your portion. You're blessed to be a blessing. Wherever you go, in the city, in the countryside, internationally, you are blessed. Receive this blessing in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And God's people say it. Amen. Amen. And amen. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, surely goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life. And you, yani you, I'm talking to you, you shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. And there's nothing the devil can do about it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Yes. Amen. Our visitors, Karibu Center. And the rest of you, a great week. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen. Shalom.